Vermonters are familiar by now with the t-shirts and bumper stickers imploring them to eat more kale. But a tiny invasive fly is making that increasingly difficult to do, at least if the kale you want to eat is organically grown. The fly in question is called the Swede midge, and we went recently to visit the University of Vermont and Associate Professor of Agriculture and Life Sciences Yolanda Chen to learn more about this pest and why it's a threat not just to kale, but to other organically grown vegetables as well.
Come over here and you can see my actual colony here. You can see what a production it is to keep these guys going. So I've got a huge greenhouse, Bill, because we have to basically provide fresh plants every day.
So we've got a number of glass-encased plants here. How many are in this lab here? How many are we looking at?
Let's see. I don't know. We have to usually maintain about 4 to 6 live plants that we feed daily and that we put into this main cage. And this is where all the adults are. So they basically have sex, midge sex, and then they lay eggs on these buds right here. And then the larvae then are feeding here on these plants. And then when they're ready, then they pupate, they go into the soil, and then they emerge again as adults.
And they only live a couple of days, as you said, right?
Yeah.
So what do you do to replace them? How are you getting these guys?
That's why we have to constantly keep them alive in some form or another. So we have to constantly put a lot of plants in there.
Hence the midge sex that we are voyeuristically looking at.
Yes.
Yeah. We shouldn't be, but we are. Do the midges get into the soil at all, or do they just attack the plant at the root and at the leaves?
So what happens is that the adults will lay eggs right on the growing tips, and they really particularly like the growing tips because that's where most of the nutrients are. Mm-hmm. The larvae will be there in amongst the folds of the buds. That's what makes it really difficult to reach using typical pesticides. When they get old enough as larvae, they basically go to the edge of the leaf, and they do a backflip off the plant and land in the soil.
Oh, great. They're gymnasts, too.
Yeah. And so they're really in the top layer of the soil, and they stay there until then they emerge again.
I understand they are threatening broccoli crops, kale crops in Vermont, and I'm sure elsewhere too. Mm-hmm. Is it just organic crops that they're especially at risk?
So they also are affecting conventional growers too. But conventional growers can use neonicotinoids, which you may have heard of. Neonicotinoids are basically applied. They can be applied to the soil, and it gets taken up by the roots of the plant. So the pesticide is in the plant itself and usually translocates up until the growing tip.
But that's not an option for organic farmers.
Yeah, it's not an option, and it's not great for conventional growers also, because now there's concerns around the effects of neonics for bees and bee health.
So what are you doing here at the UVM lab to, I imagine, try to combat this Swede midge?
Well, so I'd like to mention that we are the only lab in the U.S. working on this invasive pest. And now the thing with this midge is it attacks all kinds of brassicas. These are Asian greens, also kale, kohlrabi, cauliflower, cabbage. So what we're trying to do is find basically solutions that are suitable for both organic and conventional growers to basically prevent these guys from even laying eggs on the plants. Because we've found that even as few as 3 larvae, and these are tiny little things that you can't really see with your naked eye, can lead to basically a distorted growth, and it leads to completely unmarketable crops. It means there's still tissues, but there you can eat it in some way, but not very many customers want completely distorted, weird-looking broccoli.
Well, that's an interesting point. You're saying that even with the damage done, these plants are edible. They're not bad for you, but like we've seen with produce, let's say fruit that's bruised, people don't want to buy it.
Right. Well, with broccoli, when the plant basically freaks out, mm-hmm. you lose the big head. You'll have little sprouts, and you'll have a lot of little sprouts, but you won't have the big head. The growers that, there are some growers that are able to sell their produce, like kale, as far as Florida, they're not going to be able to do that.
What are your strategies? What are you doing to come up with a solution to keep these midges away?
One of the main things that we're trying to figure out if it's going to work is basically using the sex pheromone of the midge. And so the female will have kind of a scent, which is a sex pheromone that she releases that says, basically, I'm ready. And the male is able to track that in the field and find her. So the cool thing is, in many systems, typically with moths that are pests, is people have found the pheromone, identified it, and synthesized it chemically, and then released it at very, very high levels to then confuse the males. So suddenly, like, the densities of this odor is like 1,000 times greater than what they'd ever encounter normally. So they think that they're in heaven, that they're surrounded by all these lovely midge females, but they can't find them. And they basically get exhausted. And the idea is they get exhausted, and that's what causes them to die. And basically, it's a story of unrequited love. You know, unfortunately, though, like, some the costs of those compounds are really prohibitively expensive.
Well, you say you're moving into a trial. You're still in the trial stages here. What do you see as a timetable here? When do you think you most optimistically may come up with something that you can present to some farmers and say, we think this might work?
To be honest with you, the main limitation for us is really around funds. So every single thing, I have to apply competitively, you know, nationally, sometimes the state level, just to get enough money. So for some of the major pests that are like rapidly spread around the entire country, there have been millions. But because this is only in kind of a small corner of the U.S., there's honestly, the federal government doesn't have a ton of money now to give out. And so I have to compete against all the other problems that are out there. We're trying to raise money in all sorts of different ways, including, you know, kind of like little websites and everything like that. But that is the key thing that means that I have no idea how long the progress, you know, how long it's going to take. So we kind of scrape together different funds. I'd say basically the more money that we have, the more we can actually try many more different kinds of ideas. But really with money, it's about people, ideas, and time and space. And those are the things that I'm managing in order to like try to like deliver solutions.
Yolanda Chen is a UVM Associate Professor of Agriculture and Life Sciences. I want to thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Great. Thanks, Mitch, for coming.